Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome to a new edition. Are you up? Hello? Knock, knock. Knock, knock is golpeteo a la puerta. Knock, knock. Get up. Wake up, sleepy head. Come on. It's morning. It's 7:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. It's time to start learning English again. Come on. Wake up. Get the sleep out of your eyes. It's interesting. My mother, I don't know if it's true, but in my house, the word for legañas, de los ojos, is sleep. My mother always said, you still have some sleep in your eyes. And I don't know if that's just my mother's language or if that's really English. I don't know. Legaña. Let me see if I can find how to say that technically. Legaña, in your eyes. Room. Sleep. Mira, dices sleep. Sleep. There's a word I've never seen in my life. It's a medical term. Room. R-H-E-U-M. I suppose it's pronounced room. And then Eiboger. I've never heard that either. I've never heard that. Sleep. Yes. Yes. You have sleep in your eyes. Yes. Tienes legañas. What do you know? My mother was using normal English. You see. So, get the sleep out of your eyes. Wake up. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Because it's time to start taking the English language seriously once again. From last night with the extra hour and then with the history class with Guy Williams. Now you're with me. And we have to take things seriously. Do you understand? You don't take things frivolously in life. Are you a frivolous person? Are you irresponsible? Are you unreliable? Are you undependable? Can people count on you or not to get things done? Do you know how to get things done? Yes. Do you want to be a productive, constructive person who goes through life achieving goals and impressing people? Or do you prefer to be a person who is unreliable, undependable, irresponsible, and a person who's just frivolously going through life, just trying to enjoy the little pleasures, which I enjoy too, by the way. Los pequeños placeres de la vida. I also enjoy the little pleasures, but I enjoy the big pleasures as well. And big pleasures are often related to accomplishments, achievements, los logros, consecuciones, things that you can achieve or accomplish in life that makes you feel good. Wow, cool. Learning English is one of them. Learning to speak English well, with or without a Spanish accent, it doesn't matter. Just learn to use the language well and learn to understand it, because when you learn a second language well and you can understand it so well that you can catch many of the jokes, that means that then you can appreciate a new culture, a different culture. And it just opens a completely additional galaxy, let's say, or an additional dimension to your life when you can understand the jokes told by a Brit or an Irishman or an American or whatever and laugh because they're funny, usually. And so then you start to understand a different type of, a different way of thinking, which in my case, I don't know because I've been living in Spain for 46 years and I still don't understand Spanish people. Maybe everything I'm saying is wrong. What? Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever. This is an English class. It's not a philosophy class or a class in anthropology or comparative cultures. So let's get going, shall we? Pongámonos en marcha. Let's get going. Let's get this show on the road. As Alberto says, let's not waste any more time. Let's stop fooling around with preambles and let's get to business. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to work. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to work. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to work. Let's get down to manos a la obra. Are you ready? Yeah, Richard, de verdad? Translate the sentence. ¿De verdad crees en los fantasmas? Do you really believe in ghosts? No, not really. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't really. The question here is that I'm simply, I don't care. Yeah. You see, I don't care. That's, I'm not interested in the subject. Nobody has been able to prove to me that ghosts exist. So I could spend the rest of my life speculating. But for me, that would be a waste of time. Speculating a little bit about the existence or non-existence of ghosts is intellectually stimulating, but speculating for too long is irresponsible, in my opinion. So I don't really care. Yes. Do I believe in ghosts? Well, yesterday in the program I said, not really. But I added yesterday that I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in the Tooth Fairy. I believe in the Ratoncito Perez. The Perez Mouse. And I believe in the Fairy Godmother. And I believe in the Devil. Yeah. And I believe in the existence of guardian angels. Yes, sir. Ángeles de la Guardia. How many guardian angels are there out there? I don't know. But there's one sitting on my shoulder, watching over me. Watching me is vigilándome. Watching over me, si añades over en medio, is velando por mi bien. Yes. Watching over me, my guardian angel. Do you have a guardian angel? I do. I'm very lucky. I've never broken a bone in my body. I've never suffered a serious injury. And I have done so many things that could cause a serious injury or death. But I suppose my only conclusion is that maybe ghosts don't exist, but guardian angels do. That's for sure. And Santa Claus, for sure. About 2 years ago, I remember reading an article about a teacher, a female primary school teacher. No, she was a substitute teacher. You know, in the United States, maybe in Spain as well, there's a group of, well, some people offer their services as substitute teachers. Maybe a housewife and mother said, I will go to the school if a teacher is ill as a substitute, what you would call suplente or sustituta. And that's her job. Well, this was in Texas, and it was first grade, primero de primaria, so the kids were 6 years old. And the substitute teacher told them, Santa Claus doesn't exist. And, you know, these kids are 6 years old. And one of the children, at least one, told his parents. Oof. It was in the New York Times. I mean, this was in the Washington Post, the New York Times, the San Francisco Tribune, the Dallas Morning News. This was all over the United States. It was on television that the substitute teacher told the children that Santa Claus didn't exist. And the parents got very angry. Because that's part of growing up, is the fantasy world of children. And you need, it's not good to harm the fantasy world of children, within the correct limits, of course. To harm is dañar. Perjudicar, dañar, mejor en este caso, to harm the fantasy world. Atentar contra ello, quizás, to damage that. So I thought it was very good that that substitute teacher lost her. She was taken off the list. She didn't lose her job, because she didn't have a job. Her job was simply to substitute. She was a volunteer, basically, to be a substitute teacher, but they took her off the list of volunteers for saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I remember when I was a little boy, some kids told me, hey, Santa Claus doesn't exist. And I had trouble believing that, so I didn't necessarily believe them. It's a bit like the first time your cousin or your brother or your neighbor or your friends tells you about sex. The first time, you know why you're here, Ricky. You're here because your mother and father said, no, no. I thought the babies just came. When I was little, really little, 3 years old, 4 years old, I thought that babies came because a man and a woman got married, and just automatically, presto, babies come through marriage. I didn't think they came from Paris, like here in Spain, or that they came with storks. A stork is una cigüeña. Yes. Yeah. Yes, the stork came with the, I told the stork to take the baby back. Take the baby back to Paris. Here in Spain, they say, los niños vienen de París. And my conclusion is that this, la palabra, vienen de parir. Y la mamá dice París para no decir parir. Dicen París. Vienen de París. Vienen de parir. Maybe that's the reason they say here in Spain. When I came to Spain and I heard that babies come from Paris, I said, why? Why not London? Why not Geneva? Why not Zurich? Babies come from Warsaw. Babies come from Stockholm. No, they come from Paris. Los niños vienen de París. Los bebés. Why? And so my conclusion, I don't know if it's true, is de parir. De parir. From giving birth. Parir is to give birth. To give birth. All right. De verdad crees en los fantasmas. Do you really believe in ghosts? Do you really believe in Santa Claus, Richard? Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on your definition of existence. Santa Claus exists. Don Quixote de la Mancha and Sancho Panza exist. Captain Ahab exists. In fact, Don Quixote, Captain Ahab is from Moby Dick. Some of the most famous characters in the history of novels, las novelas, the most, or obras de teatro like Molière, or the most famous characters in the history of literature. It's a very interesting subject. I think I would put Don Quixote and Sancho at the top, or at least in the top five. Don Quixote and Sancho Panza as the greatest characters in the history of literature. I would put Captain Ahab of Moby Dick in the top 10, definitely. I would put Hamlet, even though I personally don't like Hamlet the man. The play is excellent. Well, the play's frustrating, and the man is extremely frustrating, but I would put him up there among the top 10 characters. Madame Bovary, Emma Bovary, I would put in the top 10. I would put, I'm trying to think. This is an interesting subject. Andrei Raskolnikov, maybe, of Crime and Punishment, in the top 10. I don't know. It's interesting. Let me ask that question to Mr. Google and see what he says. Who are the greatest characters in literature? This is an interesting question, by the way. 50 of the greatest characters in literature. All right. Let's see what they say here. Let's see. Oh, they don't give me a list. It's a complicated... Let's see, here we have Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind. I wouldn't include her in the top 10. Definitely not. Peter Pan. yes, but I wouldn't include him in the top 10. Let's see another list. Let me find another list here. The greatest... I can't, you know, some of these websites are not very easy to use. The 100 greatest literary characters. And this is a book. I don't know what they are. Let's see if I can go into the, if I can make it, okay. It's in alphabetical order. It's curioso porque el Capitán Ahab era el primero. It's Captain Ahab, but it's Ahab. Aladdin. Alice from Alice in Wonderland. All right. Let's see. Big Brother. That's from 1984. The novel. Gran Hermano. De ahí viene la palabra Gran Hermano. Big Brother. Emma Bovary. Okay. Yes. Holden Caulfield. That's from Catcher in the Rye. It's a very American novel. I can't find, let's see, Dracula, of course. Dracula, and many others. Let's find Vito Corleone. Okay, from Vito Corleone from The Godfather. The Invisible Man. The Invisible Man. Sherlock Holmes, of course. Here we are. Sherlock Holmes would be in the top 10, for sure. Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. Not in the top 10. But maybe in the top 30, yes. Huckleberry Finn. I would not, because I personally don't like the novel. It's too difficult to read. Yeah, Huckleberry Finn. Maybe Tom Sawyer, yes. Maybe Tom Sawyer. Another very interesting people. Miss Piggy. Okay. Orlando el Furioso. Okay, that's from... but they don't put Don Quixote. Ah, here it is, Don Quixote. Y Quasimodo, of course, from Victor Hugo's The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Hercule Poirot, the famous Agatha Christie character. But it would be interesting. I'm going to make, if I can remember, I will make my own list of whom I consider the top 10 characters in the history of literature, which I guess would include novels, maybe short stories, and plays. Obras de teatro. And Long John Silver is a good, you know, from Treasure Island. Oliver Twist. Many of the characters of Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens was a genius at creating memorable characters with memorable names. Yes, Pip, Miss Havisham, Oliver Twist, and many others. And we'll see, but let's get back to our... I'm going to leave this website open, because during the break I may try to make my first list. All right, so, ¿de verdad crees en los fantasmas? Do you really believe in ghosts? I don't really know. There's a lot of strange, interesting information about after-death experiences, or people who experience death and come back 5 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I think in some cases maybe almost an hour later, and they're floating in the ceiling of the operating room watching themselves being operated on, watching themselves die, and the panic in the operating room, and then they come back. I know two stories, one story of a friend and listener, and another story of a relative of my wife's who died giving birth to her only son. And there were complications in the birth. Birth aquí es el parto, in the birth. And she was, according to the doctors, that she was dead for about 2 or 3 minutes, not very long, short time. And she tells the, you know, the typical stories of the light at the end of the tunnel, that she was, and that she was attracted to the light, but she remembered that she had just given birth to a little boy and she needed to come back and take care of him. And she told me and told us, my wife and me, this story, like it was just the most natural thing in the world. You know, I just decided it was time to come back. And she came back and came back to life, surprised the doctors and everything. So, but believing in ghosts, I don't know, and nor, as I said earlier, como dije antes, fíjate, he dicho earlier, as I said before, también nos vale before, pero si dije mucho earlier, as I said earlier, it's not a very pertinent or important question for me to debate or to speculate on. But then you have to get into the definition of existence. And here is when I talked about Don Quixote and I got onto the question of literary characters. They exist as much as I do. Who is more real? Really, think about this. ¿Quién es más real? Who's more real, me or Don Quixote de la Mancha? If you press me on this, si me apuras, if you press me on this, I would say Don Quixote is more real than I am, because he will live longer. When I die and people forget me completely, Don Quixote will still be alive, you see. And so it's a question of the proper definition of the word existence. The fact that I am, that I have skin, blood, bones, carne y hueso, as they say here. In English we say flesh and blood. Tangible, you can touch me, you can see me, you can smell me if you want, you can taste me, and everything. But Don Quixote, all right. It's a different type of existence, but his type of existence has much greater longevity, power, and impact than my existence. Don Quixote has had a strong influence on many, many people over a period of 400 years. And me, I've had an influence on a few people over a period of maybe 15 or 18 years, thanks to Vaughn Radio and to other initiatives of mine, but mainly the radio and television work. So he is definitely, his existence is definitely more powerful and more impactful. Estoy inventando una palabra, creo, impactful, pero me gusta. Impactante, claro, impactante tampoco es una palabra española realmente. Impacto, yes, but impactante. It's a derivative. Let's see, impactante, a ver si viene la RAE. Pues sí. Well, let's check the RAE. The Royal Academy of the Language, impactante, que impacta. All right. Yes. Escuetos los doctos académicos. Yes, impactante. Que impacta e impresiona. It's impactante. I said impactful. I'm not sure if that exists. Impressive, stunning, striking, impacting. So I think impactful doesn't exist in English. Sorry. Let's see. Impactful. No, it doesn't exist. So I have just made up a word. But I like it. Impactful. I like it more than impacting. That sounds like a dental problem. Impact. We say impacted wisdom teeth. When you have muelas de juicio que no han salido, que hay que cortar para sacar, that's called impacted or embedded, impacted wisdom teeth. I had my 4 wisdom teeth removed at the same time, and 3 of them were impacted. And I don't know why, but I just didn't suffer very much afterwards. The oral surgeon, así se llama ahí, cirujano oral, the oral surgeon told me, you're probably going to feel a lot of pain this evening and during the night. Here's these pain relievers. Take one every 4 hours, etc. I think I took one, and that was it. And the oral surgeon lived across the street from my parents. It was a big coincidence. It's funny that in a city with a population of 200,000 people at that time, 250,000 people, Corpus Christi, Texas, I was there during the summer because I was living in Austin, Texas, or in Madrid, Spain. I wasn't living with my parents in Corpus, but in one summer I went to spend a month or two there in Corpus Christi. And I took advantage of the time to have my wisdom teeth removed. And in a city of 250,000, I went to an oral surgeon. I didn't know him. I don't remember why I went to that oral surgeon, but it turns out that he lived across the street in one house over. So he lived 60 meters from my house, his house. And he came and rang the doorbell, and I was alone at home. He said, "Ah, are you alone?" I said, "Yeah." "How are you feeling?" He said, "I'm fine." I could have gone out and walk around the block with him, but that was its impact. So what I'm saying is Don Quixote has greater life and longevity than I do. So again, it depends on it's an interesting question about what constitutes the concept of existence. I'll be right back.
¿Ha tenido un posible contagio de COVID o quiere evitarlos? ¿Necesita viajar o visitar algún familiar? Por su tranquilidad o por la seguridad de sus seres queridos, en Laboratorios LifeLens realizamos pruebas PCR con informe de resultados en el mismo día y test rápido de antígenos y de anticuerpos con resultados en 15 minutos en Madrid. Pida su cita online en citacovid.com. Recuerde, citacovid.com.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
You're listening.
Esto lo que oyes.
To Vaughan Radio. Listening to Vaughan Radio.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica, cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que tu agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Vaughan Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. ¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Guess what time it is? That's right, it's Black Friday, and at Vaughn, we're giving it all away. Well, we're not giving it away, but at these prices, you can consider it a giveaway. Check out our website, and you'll find out about all our special offers, like a 30% discount on our online course, plus much, much more. Celebrate Black Friday with Vaughan. More information at grupovaughan.com. Black Friday with Grupo Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back. Okay, second half hour. In the first half hour, I was talking about ghosts, near-death experiences. Yes, a near-death experience. Wow. All right. And things like that. And existence. I was questioning the true meaning, or I was speculating on, speculating on the true meaning of existence. And I said that Don Quixote has a greater argument in favor of existence than I do as a human being. Don Quixote will live forever. Me no. Don Quixote will never die while humanity continue. Well, maybe. I mean, in 200 years, will people still be reading Don Quixote de la Mancha or Madame Bovary or Moby Dick or Oliver Twist or the Brothers Karamazov or War and Peace or whatever. Will they Hamlet? Maybe. I hope so. I hope so. Because the humanistic tradition, the tradition of liberal arts, the humanities, if we lose touch with the humanities, we will become robots. We will become organic, biological robots based on biology, not based on technology. But we'll be robots if we lose touch with the humanities and our locus nostra identia, our cultural heritage worldwide. There's excellent literature in Japan, China, in the Far East, everywhere, in India, in Europe, in the Americas, etc. During the break, I made a fast list of whom I consider perhaps the most influential characters from literature. And they're not listed in order of the most, for me, the most influential of the list I have, the single character who I would say is number one, and I'm looking at the list and trying to figure out which one. Well, first let's go through the list. Gulliver. Los viajes de Gulliver. Gulliver. Gulliver's Travels. Edmond Dantes. The Count of Monte Cristo. The Count of Monte Cristo. D'Artagnan. One of the four musketeers. I forgot to put him. I'm putting him at D'Artagnan. Captain Nemo. You remember 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Captain Nemo. Captain Ahab. Yes, otro capitán from Moby Dick. Odysseus. Ulysses from the Odyssey. The Little Prince. El Principito, El Pequeño Príncipe. Saint-Exupéry. Don Quixote. Sancho Panza, Emma Bovary from the Flaubert's novel, Madame Bovary, Oliver Twist, and David Copperfield, two characters created by our good friend Charles Dickens. I couldn't remember his name. Atticus Finch. Very interesting character from To Kill a Mockingbird, which in Spanish is translated Matar un Ruiseñor. A mockingbird is not a ruiseñor. A mockingbird is an American bird, and I don't remember the exact name. Petirrojo. I can't remember what it is. And then Quasimodo from Victor Hugo's The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. Scarlett O'Hara from the novel Gone with the Wind. Philip Marlowe, one of the best detectives from the detective novels. Philip Marlowe. Alice, my Alice in Wonderland. Alice. Alicia en el País de las Maravillas. Alice. Rodion Raskolnikov, Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. Dorian Gray, The Picture of Dorian Gray, Oscar Wilde. El Coronel Aureliano Buendía. Okay, that's by Gabriel García Márquez. Interesting guy. Ian Fleming in his James Bond. Goldfinger, James Bond. King Arthur, El Rey Arturo. King Arthur. Oedipus the King, Edipo Rey, by Sophocles. Oedipus the King, Don Juan. I think Don Juan was created, the concept was at least established in literature by Tirso de Molina. And then there have been many versions. Molière, and of course, Zorrilla with Don Juan Tenorio. Even Lord Byron with Don Juan, the Don Juan. Then we have Sherlock Holmes. Wow. Vito Corleone, Winnie the Pooh. We get into children's books. Winnie the Pooh, Popeye, Tarzan, Count Dracula, Charlie Brown, Mary Poppins. And with Mary Poppins, I ran out of time. I had to come back on the air. The break is only 4 minutes. Now, this list, if I had to say who's number one as the person who has the fictitious character who has had the greatest influence, I would be stuck. I would have to, the top five, I'm going to put the top ten first. The top ten. I would put Odysseus. I'm going to put them in red. Odysseus. Don Quixote. Definitely. Sancho, not yet. Don Quixote. I would put Hamlet as a character. Alice, maybe no. I would put King Arthur. Rey Arturo, King Arthur. Don Juan. Influential. Yeah, I would put Don Juan. Sherlock Holmes, yes. I would include him in the top ten. And Mary Poppins, no. Let's see how many I wrote. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's enough. The top seven. Odysseus, who's Ulysses from the Odyssey. Don Quixote. Hamlet. King Arthur. Sherlock Holmes. It's a good list. I think that's only five names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I put six names. Don Juan. Legend of Don Juan is a legend that has lasted for 300 years or more. The legend of King Arthur, still today, amazes people, and the stories. If you've never read, everybody have heard El Rey Arturo, yeah. But there are at least 50 stories, long stories, maybe 30, 40, 50 pages long, about King Arthur and his knights, about Lancelot, Sir Gawain, Sir Galahad, and others around the Knights of the Round Table. One of my favorite stories of all time, one of my personal favorite stories of all time is Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I was fascinated by that story. Sir Gawain, in Spanish it's called, let's see, Sir Gawain y el Caballero Verde. Es un romance métrico de finales del siglo X y siglo XIV. Escrito en un único manuscrito. It's really, really good. And it's he's one of the knights of the round table. And so it's fascinating. And then, of course, Sherlock Holmes. I mean, there must be at least 100 or 200 short stories written by Arthur Conan Doyle about this detective. He's the most famous detective in literature, although there are other famous detectives like Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade or Hercule Poirot, you know, from Agatha Christie's, and there are a lot of very good. But yes, and Don Juan. Don Juan is 300 years. Sherlock Holmes is only 100 years. But I think Sherlock Holmes will live forever. And Hamlet, of course. Interesting. So, this is to live forever. They will live forever. Yes. To live forever. Well, I want to live forever. Live forever. Eternal life. Yes. Christianity offers eternal life. To live forever. Yes. So, let's go on. It's an interesting study in literature. But shall we continue? All right. La forma en que me miras me pone nerviosa. Lo pongo en femenino, nerviosa, because I've heard this sentence many, many times in Vaughn Radio when I have my classes and with students. And many of the female students have told me that. I say, why do you keep making mistakes, Juanita? And she says, because when you look at me waiting for me to answer, you make me nervous. The way you look at me makes me nervous. El sujeto de la frase es sujeto frasal de frase. La forma en que me miras es un sujeto. That's what we call a subject clause. O sea, cláusula. A subject clause. The way you look at me. Now, that's in general. If they're speaking of right now, the way you're looking at me makes me nervous or is making me nervous. Yes, to make me nervous. Me pones nervioso. You make me nervous. You make me nervous. Me pones de los nervios is otra cosa. You get on my nerves. So we have these two expressions. Me pones nervioso is you make me nervous. Me pones de los nervios, you get on my nerves. O sea, te montas encima de mis nervios, literalmente. You get on my nerves. The way you walk, la forma que andas. The way you talk. The way you eat. The way you look at me. The way you blink, la forma en que parpadeas, the way you use your voice to your advantage, the way you teach, the way you walk. I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. Yes. They can't take that away from me. All right, so la forma en que me miras me pone nervioso. The way you look at me makes me nervous. It's curioso, Suna. It's a subject clause, but it's third person singular. The way you look at me makes me nervous. ¿Por qué quieres pedir perdón? Eh? Why do you want to apologize? Because apparently I offended somebody. So what? Well, I don't want to offend people. Listen, people are becoming incredibly hypersensitive. What did you say? What did you say? I said a Spanish saying. You said a Spanish saying. Well, what saying was that? I said, I can't remember. La mona vestida de seda mona se queda. Yeah, that's a Spanish proverb. That means something that, for example, if you compose a song, and the song is not very good, but you take it to the best orchestrator, orquestador, in the world, that orchestrator cannot make the song better. Because it's not a good song. You understand? La mona, ¿cómo es? ¿Cómo va? La mona, vestida de seda, mona se queda. Yeah, that's right. And you said that. I said that publicly. Fine. What's the problem? Now I have to apologize. Why? Well, apparently I offended somebody. I offend a person's sensitivity. What do you mean? Apparently there's a person who has a special predilection for monkeys. And she felt offended that I spoke about monkeys in that way. But come on, that's a Spanish proverb, and that proverb probably has been around for 300 years at least. Come on, don't apologize. Yes, ¿por qué quieres pedir perdón? Why do you want to apologize? Well, they've asked me to apologize. Who? The television people. Oh, you said it on TV. Yeah, I said it on TV. And they want you to apologize for saying it. Yeah. Are you going to apologize? Yes. Well, listen, I would recommend that you don't. Yes. Just say no. Yes. El vicio de pedir, la virtud de no dar. That's another Spanish. Do you know that expression? Do you know that proverb? Yes. If they ask you, just say no. But then they'll take me off of the TV. They'll remove my show. Oh. Well, okay, well, I mean, if I were you, yo que tú, if I were in your shoes, if I were you, I wouldn't apologize. Yeah. Because that proverb is very, very true. Yes. For example, I know a company that has incorrect, in my opinion, incorrect processes and procedures and incorrect policies. And now they're paying a lot of money to bring people from the outside to study how to make these policies and procedures more efficient. No. You need to eliminate the policies and procedures and change them for others. Don't make something more efficient that already is not impossible to make efficient. They need to reengineer total. They need to totally reengineer the administrative process in the company. And so you can use that expression. La mona vestida de seda, mona se queda. Sigue siendo mona. It's still. Yes, we have a similar expression in English, but it's an old expression having to do with animals. Very similar. Yes, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Now, sow, S-O-W, is a word that I think it means cerda, o sea, cerdo hembra, S-O-W, I think. Y cerda, puerca, guarra. All right, chancha. Dicen América Latina. So it says, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Now, se no puedes sacar o fabricar un monedero de seda de la oreja de una cerda. Okay. It's a good expression, really. Except many people don't know what a sow is nowadays. But I prefer the Spanish expression because it rhymes. Mona se queda. Seda. Yes, seda. La mona vestida seda. Mona se queda. It rhymes. Whereas, the English equivalent, which is very good, it doesn't rhyme. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. It has good cadence. Good rhythm, but it doesn't rhyme. So you're telling me you have to apologize publicly on TV. Otherwise, they won't let me continue. You're kidding. Come on. You're kidding. Your kidding means ande ya. No te creo. O sea, grande ya. Me está tomando pelo. No. You're kidding. You're kidding. You're kidding me. You're kidding. Se suele decir sin me, pero es correcto con me. You're kidding me. You're kidding. You're joking. You're kidding. Come on. Really? If I were you, I wouldn't. Just say, no, thank you. Otra vez el vicio de pedir. La virtud de rogar. I'm not sure if the current generations in Spain, the younger generations, know these things, these expressions. El vicio de pedir. Ante el vicio de pedir, ahí está, o contra el vicio de pedir, la virtud de no dar. Okay. I'm not sure if we have a similar expression to that. Yes, I'm not so sure. The more you keep on about it, the less inclined I am to tell you. I can't think of... Contra el vicio de pedir, la virtud de no dar. Against the vice of asking for something is the virtue of not giving. It doesn't sound very... In English, it doesn't have power. Yeah. I want doesn't get. It's a strange way. All right. But I can't find it. I want doesn't get. Mommy, mommy, I want some sweets. Shh. You've already had plenty of sweets today. But I want some sweets. I want doesn't get. That's the mother. El que tú quieras. El que tú quieras. No. Consigue que lo tenga. So it's impossible to translate it. So I can't find a good equivalent in English for contra la el vicio de pedir la virtud de no dar. But I have used that expression maybe 5 times in my life for a purpose, because people were asking. We do this sometimes in my company. We deal with client companies, empresas que quieren clases de inglés, and sometimes they become very demanding. Se ponen muy exigentes. ¿Qué es lo que queremos con lazo encima de color rosa, con chocolate alrededor? And finally, I tell the people in the sales areas, I just tell them no. No. I said, contra el vicio de pedir la virtud de no dar. Ya está. Look for somebody else. Hay muchos centros de idiomas en España. Go to another one. All right. If they want to put a pink ribbon with chocolate around it, then go find a competitor. And the classes will not be as good. So in the end, it's more expensive. Lo barato es caro en mi sector, eh? It's very, very true. All right, so let's go on. ¿Por qué quieres pedir perdón? Me cuesta decir pedir perdón. Why do you want to apologize? Why do you want to say you're sorry? Don't apologize. Don't apologize. Nowadays, people are hypersensitive in the woke culture. This is a new word for me. Woke. W-O-K-E. Which really is the past tense of the verb to wake. But I don't know why. I don't know the origin of this word. Woke. Woke. Culture. In the Urban Dictionary, the act of woke. The act of being very pretentious about how much you care about a social issue. El presumirse muy pretencioso sobre lo mucho que, o presumir de lo mucho que te importa una cuestión social. Pero in a form, but in an artificial way. Most people don't care about parking spaces for families with disabled pets. I wish they were woke like me. Treating every relationship like it's your last and getting very super serious with someone you just started dating. Woke. False awareness. Concienciación falsa. Fake awareness. Yes. LeBron, this is LeBron James, the basketball player, acts woke about China. He's full of shite. A veces dice shite para no decir shit. Yeah, false awareness. Fake awareness and things. Woke. This is becoming a very common word in the U.S., maybe in Great Britain as well. And I don't think there's an equivalent yet in Spanish. Maybe there will be in the future. But I don't know. Maybe in maybe in Word Reference today they have it. Let's look it up. Woke, W-O-K-E, woke. Never look into Word Reference. Despierto consciente. All right, woke. Velatorio, pero no. It doesn't make to act woke. Let's see. To act woke. I can't find an equivalent in Spanish. To act woke, like muy, I don't know. But I'm sure that within 10 years, if this tendency and movement continues to grow, God forbid, Dios quiere que no, God forbid, I'm sure that the Spanish language will either import the word totally woke, no seas tan woke, or they will develop a good translation of it. Yes. Good translation of woke. Again, I'm running out of time. Time has that tendency to pass. Have you ever noticed that? Tiene tendencia a pasar. El tiempo pasa. Time passes, and I can't stop it. I've tried to stop time, but I've never figured out an effective way to stop the passage of time. Which means that I have to say goodbye for 4 minutes, but I'll be back 4 minutes from now.
Guess what time it is? That's right, it's Black Friday, and at Vaughn, we're giving it all away. Well, we're not giving it away, but at these prices, you can consider it a giveaway. Check out our website, and you'll find out about all our special offers, like a 30% discount on our online course, plus much, much more. Celebrate Black Friday with Vaughan. More information at GrupoVaughan.com. Black Friday with Grupo Vaughan.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. ¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Si lo que quieres es resolver el inglés y no solo dar clases año tras año, llama a Vaughan. Somos los únicos que te diremos la verdad, te marcaremos el camino.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
A Vaughan English class is not the same as other English classes. In a Vaughn English class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life, and the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively